You're listening to Packers Talk Network.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
But you guys have a great week. Go Pack, go. And we look forward to being back next week after a Packers victory. Go in peace.
I'm hitting stop.
Oh, that was a train wreck.
Guys, we did it. Holy shit.
Check New York Bozo! New York Bozo! New York Bozo!
I gotta get my biceps a little bigger.
Yeah, you can always work on that.
Oh, I could sure use a hot dog with chili.
You know what time the game starts?
Hey, you got any left-handed footballs? We need to fire him.
Is anybody else tired or is it just me?
Good thing I'm in shape.
You got any eligibility left?
I got some advice for y'all. Take 2 weeks off, then quit.
Good evening, Packer Nation. We are back coming at you, I guess, live. I would typically be a little bit more upset after a Packers loss, but there is some amazing news that we have to share with every one of you. Our cohort in this, Jordan Peck, is off this week, so I am very ecstatic about that.
Sunshine.
I feel like a new man when he is not around. So. Yes, we absolutely sort of miss Jordan. Yes. Anyways, Brian, you are with us tonight. How are you doing?
I am doing great. And Jordan, do not listen to John. You have the best podcasting voice out of all of us, and you have the longest beard out of all of us. We need you back next week, buddy.
I'm coming for you, Jordan. I'm coming for you.
The hell's coming with him.
Dusty, come on. Dusty, come on with it.
Hey, what's up, fellas? I'm excited to be here. Good week. I miss you, Jordan. Don't you listen to John. We're better when you're around. I prefer when you're here rather than Brian here, if we're being perfectly honest. But hey, Brian, it's good to have you back, buddy. I'm just excited to be here.
I prefer when Jordan's here than when I'm here too. All right. So it's no offense taken.
All in the same boat. All right, that's cool.
Yeah, yeah.
I need everyone to fact check the fact that people listen to me more than they listen to Jordan. Okay.
Well, you
fact
say check. Probably the most fact words, check. But that's just because we can't stop you.
That is very true.
Yeah.
And I love talking. I don't love the sound of my own voice, but I love talking.
Hashtag analysis.
Guys, I'd say let's just start a coin toss real quick, huh?
Let's start talking about some football.
Let's roll it.
For the love of God.
That is our patented Pack to the Future just staple that we bring to you guys every week. It is our beautiful, beautiful coin toss. With our intellects, we bring it to you hard, we bring it to you true, and we got some good questions lined up for you guys this week. And the first question I'm going to ask, and seeing as we only got Brian and Dusty here, is just going to be you two going head to head this week, and I'm excited to hear what happens.
This is where I miss Jordan the most, because I usually get really easy points in debating against Jordan, and now I have to work a little bit harder with Dusty. Sucks.
This is where everyone misses Jordan.
I lost to Jordan last week, Brian. So the bar is pretty low.
This is a cakewalk. And I'm sorry about that. Dusty. But, you know, I might be able to get you a nice, you know, bonus point win for, you know, losing to Jordan last week.
All right, thanks, John. I appreciate that, buddy.
This election is rigged.
we're just so on top of our game tonight, I think. Anyways, we are going to get into the coin toss. The first question this week is, where is our confidence level in the Packers offense? I feel like we've strung together a few good weeks here, and I want to know where each of you guys are at. So I'm going to flip the coin, And Brian, seeing as that you missed last week, you're going to be the first person to talk. So if I flip the coin, you are going to tell me that you are not confident in where the Packers offense is at right now. Okay?
Let's do it.
Coin is up. And it is tails. Brian, you are very confident in where the Packers offense is at right now.
I am very confident in where the Packers offense is at right now.
I win.
No, that's all I had. I'm good.
I'll take my victory lap now.
All right, no, Dusty.
It's actually really weird that our passing game just finally starts to click after we lose all semblance of a running game. And it's against everything that Mike McCarthy has ever said, because every single time, I'd say over the last 11 years, that the running game has struggled in a game, he comes out and says, we have to get the running game going, we have to get the running game going, but here we are without a running game, and our passing attack looks better than it has in a year and a half. So, I don't know. Maybe Eddie Lacy going to injured reserve is a blessing in disguise. Nothing against Eddie, but maybe it's, let's just stick to what we're good at and just spread five receivers and just go nuts. Aaron Rodgers is not missing the throws that he was missing 2 weeks ago. He's getting brave again. You saw that deep ball in the first quarter to Jordy Nelson. He's trusting his young receivers. You saw touchdowns to Janice Davis and new guy Geronimo Allison. He hit Davis and Allison on two different, like, very inch perfect throws at the sidelines, and those receivers somehow got their feet down. It's just, he's throwing the ball with conviction. He is throwing the ball with confidence, and that's all you need is for number 12 to be happy and confident. And yeah, that's why I'm super duper confident.
We love that smile on number 12. Dusty,
love it.
You are not confident where the Packers offense is at right now.
I'm not. I mean, they look good. That is also my final say. They look good. I mean, Brian's right. They look good this past week, man. And they look good the previous week as well. They put up 32 this past week in a loss. They put up 26 against the Bears. We're just a couple weeks removed from them putting up 16 on the Cowboys, which is not great. And that's actually a pretty good defense. Now, the thing that's going to here's the thing. So the next few weeks, they're going up against the Colts this week, which we're going to talk about in a little bit. But their defense is awful. They are, I believe, the 29th per Football Outsiders, 29th ranked pass defense. And then after that, we've got the Titans, who are the 24th ranked pass defense, the Redskins, who I think are like surprisingly 15th or something. And after that, the Eagles, who I think are top five. So my point is that they could even come back with a couple good weeks here. Even if Cobb and Montgomery say don't come back, and they could put up some points. I expect them to put up points this week. Rodgers is not missing some of the throws that he was, but he still is missing some. He's still a little high. He's still not quite setting his feet. He's still not driving. Even some of the ones he's completing, he's a little off on. They're just a little behind. We saw that last week on the touchdown to Adams, where it was wide open. He just kind of just chucked it behind him. They can go ahead and put up points these next 2 weeks, and I'm still not really going to feel good about it, really, until they prove they can do it against someone like, can't believe I'm saying this, like the Redskins or the Eagles. If they can put up some stuff on the Eagles, like, that's good. That'll be exciting. And then I'll kind of believe in them. But until then, they've just not shown enough this year that they can do that against anything other than just like a bottom 10 defense or something in the league. So no, I mean, I think they are good enough to put up points on a bad defense, but man, like, they got to play some good ones coming down the stretch. They got the Seahawks late. They got the Vikings again. And then if they make the playoffs, they've got that. Like, that's, to me, that's where my confidence lies, is they're looking good now. If they can't do it against, like, even above average defenses, I don't have the confidence. That's kind of where I am right now. They haven't shown me anything against a decent defense, and so I don't believe it.
Some great points were made on both sides of the argument, and not that I necessarily agree with you, but Dusty, I feel like you just took the first one.
That's pity points. Pity points, and I'll take them.
A bonus point is available, and you guys telling me what Eddie Lacy's weight is going to be like after he comes out of this ankle injury.
Cool 285.
Is this Jeopardy rules where it's closest without going over?
Yes.
286. Drop the mic, walk off stage.
Brian, you get 0.1 bonus points.
All right. So it's 1 to 0.1. All right. I'm only 9/10 of a point behind. This is promising.
That 0.1 could come in real handy in the end. Who knows?
I'd say.
The next question. I mean, we all know what happened on Sunday. It is the Packers lost the game. I mean, that is what happened. That's a fact. Some people say that there's such a thing as a good loss. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that, because all losses seem pretty bad to me.
What about the loss of Jordan for this episode? You seem to be happy with that.
Okay. Wow. That's wow. True. Wow. Fact check me all the time. People, everyone, fact check me.
Go to HillaryClinton.com for a live fact checker of this episode.
But you can have a certain feeling about it, and positive or negative. And I want to get you guys feelings about this. And Dusty, if I flip the coin and it is tails, you're going to tell me that you have a positive feeling after this loss, okay?
Yes.
And it's tails. You're feeling positive after this recent loss.
Yeah, I mean, I am. And I just talked about why I'm not confident in the offense. And all that stuff holds. You cannot be confident and also still feel positive, because I'm an optimistic person. I guess not by nature. I'm not really optimistic. I'm kind of more of a realist. But when it comes to my team, say, before a game and the weeks leading up to a game, even kind of looking back after the game, I always see the problems that they can fix. I kind of see them as more fixable than they may be. So I find myself being kind of optimistic about the future of the team. And so I see that here. And it's kind of hard with all the points I just made about the offense. I mean, those do exist, but at the same time, they do have some pretty bad teams coming up. I mean, again, the Colts, Titans, Texans are not good. Bears, we've already played. Like, the Bears are not good, and they could be worse. The Lions don't have it. So they can put up some good points against bad defenses. And the good thing is the last half of the schedule is packed with bad defenses. So, I mean, that's a positive there. Another positive is they put up 32. Yeah, they lost. But, like, they struggled to put up 27 against the Jags early in the year. With more of their guys healthy. I think Nelson looked better. We lost Cobb and Montgomery before the game, which sucked, but we had, two or three straight games of Adams looking good. We got Trevor Davis on the field, who I just absolutely love Trevor Davis, just any playing time that guy gets. So those are positives going forward. It's just looking at some of the guys that had not seen time, actually seeing time and actually looking pretty good. Offensive line has been good. That's a positive there. And then even on the defensive side, we'll talk about this in a second, but secondary appeared to have gotten torched. I don't know that they necessarily did. Like, they've, with as many injuries as they've had, they've held together, if not great, better than I thought they would. And I mean, that's a positive there as well. And they're going up against, I mean, again, the Colts this week, and they got Luck, and Luck is very good, and Mariota's been turning it on. Like, but thank God we got Brock Osweiler coming in a couple of weeks. So that's going to be great. just going to lay waste to that tall, lanky fella. But yeah, I mean,
honk.
I still have a lot of concerns about this team in general, but what they did on Sunday and putting up points against, granted, a bad defense, they still put up points, and they looked really good doing it in the second half. But they did enough to make me come away going, all right, man, they lost, but there are a lot of reasons to be optimistic about this team.
All right, Brian, you are not as pessimistic, optimistic as Dusty.
All right, so I'm gonna do this segment pretending now that I'm debating against Jordan, and I'm pretty sure I'll get this point. Now, I'll concede that they actually played pretty well, considering that it was a loss. To only lose by one, you know, they were in a position to win that game and just a defensive lapse away from taking a huge game in Atlanta. But what worries me is not so much this game. It's the trend that we're seeing. A week one win against Jacksonville, a bad team. A week two loss to Minnesota, who are struggling right now, but that's still a really good defense. You know, we beat Detroit, we beat the New York Giants, we lose to Dallas, we beat Chicago, we lose to Atlanta. So all the teams we lose to are potential playoff teams. And so that's good that, you know, we're kind of, you know, not being upset by anybody, but we've yet to beat a playoff caliber team. And that, to me, is really disturbing, that just the thought that, you know, we might right this ship and we might go on a run here and get into the playoffs, but I don't have a whole lot of confidence that getting into the playoffs will mean anything, because I'm not confident this team can win a playoff game. Because, you know, we have a lot of work to do if we're going to win this division. We need to win a lot of games. And if we don't win the division, we're going to be, what, playing at Seattle, at Dallas? I don't see us winning those games the way things are going right now. So it's not so much of what happened on Sunday, because what happened on Sunday I thought was a really good game. But this trend of not being able to beat any good teams, to not be able to stop a really good offense, to not be able to put up numbers against a good defense, that's concerning to me.
Okay. I am going to give this one to Brian.
So I'm now winning by 0.1 points, but, for those keeping score at home.
Oh, but no.
There is a bonus point to be awarded on this one. And the bonus point is automatically for Dusty, because he is getting Jordan's
handsome
bonus points for
this is biased.
I'm not making the rules around the
yes,
around
you
here.
Are. You're exactly making the rules.
Okay, I do make the rules. So when I make the rules, don't question me. Another
that's
bonus point
smart.
For Dusty.
That's
Dusty,
smart.
You are now winning by 0.2.
John, oh, you're the one that first called me Commander in Chief at Pact of the Future, and you're telling me not to question you when you make a ridiculous rule.
I love to flex, okay? I love flexing. Find me a mirror, and I'll flex in it. Right now I don't have one, but I'm looking at myself on Google Hangout and I'm flexing right now. So,
can confirm.
Anyways,
can confirm.
Next coin toss, everybody. This is concerning our defense, and, you know, all things considered, with the way our secondary has played out this year, do you guys feel like they are finding some form of a groove with all these replacement guys in there? They appear to be playing some relatively decent football, and I just want you guys' take on it. So, Brian?
Yes, sir.
If I flip the coin in his tails, you will be telling me that this secondary unit of our secondary is finding their groove.
Well done.
And in his heads, Brian, they are not finding their groove out there.
All right, well, man, I was hoping for the other side, if I'm being honest, but I'll power through. I don't think they can really start to find their groove until they've got some health back, until they've at least got Demaryius Randall back, and crossing your fingers, Sam Shields being the guy they reactivate from the injured reserve list in a few weeks. You know, they did a pretty good job against Julio Jones on Sunday. I'll give them that much. But he also turned his ankle, so if he was fully healthy, what might he have done? The success that you're seeing from this secondary has been definitely at the expense of a pass rush, because you've seen almost nothing of a pass rush in the past few weeks. They've been selling out to add, you know, playing in a lot of dime, playing with extra defensive backs, whatever it takes to kind of slow down a pass attack. And that clearly didn't work on Sunday, did it? Because they were never able... They had one drive where they were able to get to Matt Ryan, and they got a 3-and-out, and that was great. And you thought, maybe this is the start, but that was the only drive where they got any real pressure on him. So I don't think you can say that they're catching a stride if we're just totally sacrificing other phases of our defense in order to accommodate for them. They need those top cornerbacks back, at least one of the two, and then we need to see them playing in their real defense, and then we can say they're catching a stride.
Okay. Dusty, I am very happy that you were on this side of it, because I know that you share my same appreciation for Keanu Reeves, and I kind of view this as, you know, the replacements, you know, out there, and they nice. And the replacements, they found their groove, and I just feel like
Neo, the Matrix, the one, Neo.
Yeah.
They did yeah, find the one. Yeah.
Really cool plastic sunglasses, leather suits.
Wait, what are we doing?
Do I get a point now?
Dusty, the replacements have found their groove.
It's to me, it's less replacements and more John Wick because they're laying waste to people. Just ooh. That secondaries like Baba Yaga all up in there. It's just insane.
Hey, Dusty, shut up for a minute while I just give you your point. That
okay? you're welcome. You're
that
welcome,
was
everybody.
Well done.
I'm gonna get annoying for a second and say, so this past week I've been reviewing the film. You understand? It basically means I've been sitting at my computer and watching Coach's film and then going, "Hey, what's that? Hey, what's that?" And then watching it a dozen times. So I've been doing that while working on my column for the week. And I had in mind before I started, I'd say 8 plays that I'd pegged while I was watching that I wanted to go back and watch as far as what I perceived to be blown coverage. One of them was the touchdown to Sanu, or I'm blanking on the other ones. But I basically had 8 plays where it looked like blown coverage, and I was like, this secondary played terribly. I mean, they gave up 33 points to the Falcons. Somehow gave up 33 points to the Falcons while allowing, like, 29 yards to Julio Jones. I didn't know how they did it. Once again, some anonymous tight end just ripped us to pieces. Austin Hooper, I kept thinking he was Chief Hopper from Stranger Things, and it was just, it was bugging me out, man. That dude is handsome and could probably be a very good tight end. But I digress.
He's a hunk.
He is a hunk. David Harbour, I love you if you're listening. I know you're listening. So I went into it thinking, I'm going to take these 8 plays, and I'm going to rip them apart. I'm going to see where the blown coverage is. I'm going to lay blame. Because that's what I like to do. I like to figure out what happened. And as I kind of dug into it, I realized, man, they actually played really solid. Gunter played just a dynamite game. Goodson played a good game. He had the long touchdown to Sanu early on, Taylor Gabriel that he gave up. That was just perfect coverage, and Burnett just didn't drop back. It wasn't even a misread by Burnett. It was a kind of a medium dig or curl across the middle that Burnett kind of got sucked up on, and then instead of dropping back deep, he went up, and then he missed the contain or in the middle where he probably should have been. But that wasn't necessarily a bad read. Like, what I saw over and over again in these plays I thought were bad coverage were actually just really, really good play designs by the Falcons. It was, if they abandoned this to get the guy who caught the ball, then, like, maybe, you know, someone else catches the ball. Someone was always going to be open. Like, the only one I had issue with was the two-man rush throw to Taron Ward, on third down. That then Kentrell Bryce just absolutely stoned at the 1 yard line. I've watched it like a dozen times, and nice. I still have no idea how he did it. But that's the only play. That's the only play I really have issue with. I mean, the Sanu touchdown even was, maybe Ryan should have had a deeper drop, but like that wasn't even when I originally watched it. It was Clinton Dix didn't rotate. Well, Clinton Dix couldn't rotate. He had Julio Jones running just a skinny post. He had to cover the inside of Goodson or Gunter on that side. It outside contained that Clinton Dix on the inside. Over and over again, I saw these guys that I thought were out of position were actually in very good position. It was just the Falcons have a lot of skill players, and they just couldn't cover them all. A couple times were miscommunications, but I mean, we were all terrified. We talked about this last week. We're terrified of Gunter, who is not known for his speed, keeping up with Jones. And yeah, Jones had a turned ankle, but man, Gunter stayed with him step for step. He was with Sanu when he was on Sanu. Like, the only 2 incomplete passes on that final drive for Matt Ryan were both at Gunter. One which should have been a pick six, the other which should have been an interception by Clinton Dix. Like, they were where they needed to be. It was just a matter of the Falcons just had a lot of guys, and it was just, I saw a couple things that were maybe scheme related, but none of it was player related. Maybe one play was player related. Like, it was just, I didn't see any cracks, and I saw cracks in the secondary. I didn't see them that bad. I just saw a very good Falcons team and a young secondary playing very well for the Packers.
All right. Decisions.
Mine was said in way fewer words.
Welcome. It's true, I got carried away.
Just saying.
Welcome to the courtroom of Freelo, Judge Freelo. And Brian, welcome back. You have gotten yourself the victory tonight.
For my 5 seconds of FaceTime, I just want to.
It's three. You're done.
Okay. Oh, that was so special.
That was the fastest. That was the fastest 3 seconds in the history of 3 seconds.
I'm having a hard time breathing right now. What a rush,
Brian. Brian, I need you to regain yourself here because there's an awesome sponsor. There's an awesome sponsor that sponsors Pack to the Future. Please tell us about it.
All right, our awesome sponsor is Pride and Glory Clothing at prideandglory63.com. Awesome t-shirts from an awesome guy, Fred Thurston, grandson of famous left guard Fuzzy Thurston. Great guy, great t-shirts. Just if you're looking for a different look, a different Packers look that nobody else has, this is your guy. Great t-shirt designs. I think everybody on this podcast owns at least one of his shirts, and we get comments on them all the time, especially Dusty, who wears the Sweep t-shirt, and he likes to brag about random women on the street coming up and asking for his number while wearing that shirt. So,
that has never happened, but I do get a lot of comments on that.
So if you need a conversation starter with the ladies, go ahead and order one of these shirts.
Love it. Love it. And joining us tonight is from SB Nation, Group Stampede Blue. We got Ben Lamers.
Hey guys, thanks for having me.
Ben, how you doing tonight, buddy?
Doing well, doing well.
Doing well? Awesome, my man. How's the weather right now in Indy?
Well, you know, I'm not actually in Wisconsin right now, so I don't know. I don't know how it is down there.
Goodness.
But it's glorious in Wisconsin.
We have a Wisconsin-born and raised, true-blood Wisconsinite joining us, covering another team, and we talked about it earlier, and that is more than fine with us. And how about Wisconsin pulling out the win over Nebraska this week?
Oh, wasn't it great? They always beat Nebraska.
I love it. It's like welcoming them to the Big Ten every single time we beat them, and I hope that we get to continue welcoming them to the Big Ten by beating them every single time we play them.
Yep.
Every single year. But unfortunately, we can't just sit here and talk Wisconsin Badgers football. We got an awesome football game ahead of us. Packers Colts. Some might say we're going to be looking at another shootout again this year. Andrew Luck, very elite quarterback, and Aaron Rodgers say the same about him. And I know we're all looking forward to it. So let's hear what's going on the Colts side of the ball here. I know that the defense kind of has been struggling this year, to say the least. And I kind of want you to fill us in as to, what's going on that defensive side of the ball, Ben.
Yeah, the defense has been pretty bad, like you said, for the entire year, really with the exception of the first 3 quarters of the Texans game. But we try to forget that last quarter happened. But otherwise, yes, it's been really bad. The secondary has been certainly picked on the most. Really has gotten torn apart by every quarterback from Brock Osweiler, Trevor Siemian, Brian Hoyer. Not exactly the names that scare you, have put up big numbers against the defense. But a big part of that stems from the lack of a pass rush. It's really non-existent. I think I didn't check after the one sack in the Kansas City game, but I believe Eric Walden is still the sack leader, which is never really what you want. So
I know him.
Yeah, yeah. We overpaid to take him away from Green Bay. And
thank you.
It really does start with that lack of the pass rush. There's no pressure on the quarterback whatsoever. So, it really, Vontae Davis is great. He's probably not going to play this week against Green Bay, but you could have a whole team of Vontae Davises, but if you don't get pressure on the quarterback, eventually they're going to find an open receiver. And then in back of that, the linebackers are incredibly awful. Josh McNary, undrafted a few years ago, cut a few times, is starting now because there's no one else on the roster. The secondary outside of Vontae Davis, really not a whole lot. I couldn't tell you who the number 3 cornerback is going to be on Sunday because I don't have any idea. It's just a mess. It's just a mess.
And I know you talked about a pass rush, and I mean that's defensive line. And I mean, what's going on the offensive line, you know, right now? I mean, they themselves aren't really looking the hottest either.
Yeah, the offensive line at the start of the year was, well, they weren't great, but not as bad as what I think we expected. But now you've got a few more injuries on the line. Specifically, Jake Muhort has been out past couple weeks, and that's really hurt having the center, right guard, right tackle were all rookies a couple weeks ago, which is never anything that you want. So the line hasn't been terrible. At times they have been, but not incredibly awful against teams who don't sport an elite pass rush. I would say the Chiefs have a above average pass rush. The Broncos did, but some of the other teams that don't, you know, J.J. Wattless, Texans really didn't. At those times, you see the line play well. Their big problem has been penalties on the offensive line. Lots of holding penalties tend to negate a lot of big plays. Most of those have come against Anthony Costanzo, which is extremely frustrating when he's your highly paid left tackle. Is really not having a good year. So they're better, I think, than what people think, but yeah, they're still not very good, but a lot of that has been, I think, injuries more so than anything else.
And, I mean, that just leads into the next question. I mean, you guys have such an amazing quarterback in Andrew Luck, and, I mean, when he first came into the league, I mean, I think y'all just kind of – he just kind of did what we all expected him to do, and that was just be great. And, you know, you got to keep the guy standing, and you got to give him some time to, you know, really put his skills, you know, into use. And – since he's been back this year, how has Andrew Luck's play been?
You know, I mean, the Chiefs game notwithstanding, where the whole team played awful against the Chiefs. So let's kind of throw that one out. But without that game, Andrew Luck has played at a very high level, is on pace. Before going into the game, was on pace, I think, for 9 interceptions on the year. And only threw one against Kansas City, but still going to be on pace for a pretty low amount of interceptions, career highs for completion percentage, and playing very, very well. Not getting beat up while running as much as he has, has kind of learned how to slide a little bit, which is nice. But playing at a high level, yeah, but when you have to score 30, 35 points to even be in the game, that gets overshadowed a little bit when your team is, you know, collapsing, you can't stop the other team. So, you know, Andrew Luck could throw for, you know, this Sunday, for example, could very easily throw for 300 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, and the Colts could lose by 20. And you're not going to realize that he played a great game just because he's playing well, but the rest of the team really isn't. So Andrew Luck is having a very good year. I think if the Colts even were on top of the division, had a winning record, you know, I'd probably be at least thrown out, you know, in a couple of the conversations for, you know, having, you know, maybe MVP or on that fringe. I think he's not quite in there yet, but I think you'd see his name thrown out there if they were playing better as a team.
Okay. And then, I mean, as a team, I know that, you guys are in a very, I guess, I mean, you could call it a weak conference. And do you guys have expectations to make the playoffs this year?
I would say, I hesitate to say yes, but I will. Only because it's the AFC South. And no one has really tried to take control of that division. No one really seems to be able to. No teams can quite do it. Houston, you know, 5-3, but let's be honest, they're not probably even the top half in terms of talent in the AFC in general, but they're probably going to win the division. So I think the fact that you still have 3 division games to go, you know, Houston's got a couple tough games. You cling to the fact that, well, maybe, you know, maybe if you get to, you know, as bad as it sounds, maybe if you get to 8 or 9 wins, you know, you might win the division, you know, if all goes about. But even if the Colts did, it wouldn't matter who they played in the first round. They would get knocked out so fast. So I don't think at this point 3-5, I don't think it's realistic. I look at the Colts schedule and, quite frankly, maybe see 4 wins left in the season. So I don't think playoffs, but because of the division, you'd never really know what could happen in the South.
Okay.
I know this is literally impossible, but I would pay a lot of money to see the Colts go 7-9 and host the New Orleans Saints in the first round of the playoffs and win on just a crazy, stupid run by Frank Gore. Pay a lot of money.
And let's bring our focus back onto Sunday's game. I know we kind of got the overview of what's been going on in Indy this whole year, but what do the Colts have to do to win this game? And then when you're done describing that, why don't you go ahead and give us a final score prediction, Ben?
Sure. So I think we'll start with the offensive side of the ball. Really, just have to play mistake-free football. And we saw 2 weeks ago in Tennessee, Colts offense was fantastic. They looked very good. They looked like a competent team, which was something we haven't seen a whole lot this year. And if they play like that again this week, I think the offense then is set up for success. And Frank Gore doesn't necessarily have to run for a lot of yards, just has to be effective when he does. Every once in a while, the Colts get away from that a little bit, and they just throw, which isn't the worst idea with the way the roster is built. But it's really getting the offense going, getting some of the pieces involved. I'm not sure what T.Y. Hilton's availability is. He injured his hamstring against Kansas City this past weekend, so I'm not sure if he'll be 100%. But if the offense clicks and Andrew Luck and the team avoid mistakes, they have a good chance, I think, at the very least, to score some points and hang in the game. On the defensive side, really, it's going to be, I think if you take away just the game 4 years ago, the second half of that wonderful game against the Packers in Indianapolis, where I think just getting pressure on Aaron Rodgers is going to be key. Get him off the spot, get him moving a little bit, just so he doesn't have time to just sit in the pocket and throw it to whoever comes open first. So I don't know how in the world they will manufacture that kind of pass rush, but that's really going to be what they need to do, because starting corners are probably going to be Patrick Robinson and someone on the other side, and Darius Butler will probably be in the slot again. And I don't know who that other corner could possibly be, but you have to take pressure off of them somehow, and that's going to be trying to get pressure on Aaron Rodgers, which I don't think they'll be able to. But that's what the defense will need to do. And then score prediction, I was thinking about this one today, and you know, I'll go really high on this because I don't think they're going to stop Aaron Rodgers at all. So I will say I'll take the Packers. We'll go 45 Colts. I kick a lot of field goal. 45-24. Wow, I think Jeepers. They're just going to get run right out of Lambeau.
Ben, you can be on our show any week you want to, and if they get 45 points, I will like follow Friday you every single day of your life. Okay.
All right. Sounds good.
If we finish with that exact score, I propose that Ben replace Jordan.
Yes. I mean, you're right here in Wisconsin. We could get together on Tuesday nights and podcast, drink some Spotted Cow.
I'd be down for that. Let's do it.
Lovely.
Well, right. At John Jameson on Twitter, plugging myself before the plug. I love doing that. Ben, it is your time to plug yourself and tell everyone else again where they can find you, and we'll go from there.
Sure. So like I said when I was introduced earlier, Ben Lamers, I write for the SB Nation website Stampede Blue, which is going to cover the Indianapolis Colts. If you're so inclined to follow my Twitter ramblings, you can find me on Twitter at Ben Lamers. That's going to be LAMERS. Or for those of you listening who are in Wisconsin, the bus line. It's a really easy way to remember that. So just first and last name. I was going to be on Twitter. You can go ahead, follow me for things Colts, things not Colts, things not even sports. It just kind of depends what's going on during the day.
I was going to ask you about the Lamers bus line. Are you related?
Cousin Lyle.
Cousin Lyle.
Yes.
Really? All right.
That is freaking awesome, dude.
Fantastic. We've got royalty on our podcast this week.
I wouldn't go that far. Well, Ben,
as close as we've gotten.
That is probably true. So, Ben, we really appreciate you taking some time out of your schedule and talking with us this weekend. And yeah, everyone go follow Ben on Twitter. And again, we really appreciate you taking some time, buddy.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys.
Thanks, Ben.
Thanks, Ben.
All right. And as always, we will continue on with our coverage of the green and gold. And with that, we bring Brian back in. Brian, what are the keys to a victory Sunday for the Packers this week?
This week, I've got two major ones here. The first one is to get to Andrew Luck. As it was addressed, this is one of the worst offensive lines in all of football. They're just giving up pressures left and right, giving up sacks left and right. And if you can get in there quickly and disrupt Andrew Luck's timing, then man, like you can really get under his skin and get into his head. They're gonna put up a lot of points regardless of whether we have a pass rush or not. I'm fully expecting that. Andrew Luck's just too good, I think, to be totally shut down for an entire game. But man, again, that offensive line is just so bad. I mean, Peppers, Matthews, Fackrell, even Nick Perry, they should all just be chomping at the bit, just ready to attack on Sunday. I don't see any reason to sacrifice pass rush this week like they did against the Falcons. Just go after it. I don't see a redeeming factor in this offensive line of the Colts. So go after it. The other one is just let the good times roll. This offense has put together, I'd say, five really good quarters out of the last six. I was a little worried after that third quarter on Sunday that it was all just a flash in the pan once again, like it was in the second half against Chicago or the first half against Detroit. But then they put together a really good drive in the fourth quarter, and you know, that's six overall good quarters of offense, and that's the best six quarters we've seen in this offense for a long time. So I'm feeling good. They seem to be feeling good, and they have a porous defense to go up against this week. So again, they should be just chomping at the bit, ready to air it out, mix things up, spread receivers wide, just go absolutely nuts against a defense that is incredibly exploitable. And I don't know if I said this on air or if I said this before the show, but my man crush for Brock Osweiler that everyone knows has been epic for a long time, it is fading.
Yes.
Because he's just been so bad this year. Shut up,
Dustin. I knew it. We knew it was coming, man.
He's just been so bad, and he's got receivers, and he's got an offensive line, and he just can't put it together. I'm not saying it's over, but right now he's on timeout. But he was able to tear things up at the end of that Colts game. That defense that actually did a pretty good job for a few quarters, they just disappeared. And Brock Osweiler just took them to the cleaners in that fourth quarter and overtime. And it is, can I use the word disgraceful? Is that too mean, or is that about accurate?
You can use accurate. I will allow it.
Okay. I'm going to go with disgraceful then. That was a terrible, terrible finish to a primetime game against a quarterback that has had nothing but struggles this year. So Aaron Rodgers, being a great quarterback who's found his groove lately, he is going to go insane, bananas, ridiculous Aaron Rodgers mode. I really felt that my prediction was going to be really bold, but I got outdone a little bit by Ben. But I am going to say 42-27.
That's
I still think that's
okay.
That's still pretty hot. That's still pretty hot.
I think so. I think
and
so.
And Dusty, by the numbers.
All right, so I'm going to try to make this quick. I got something for the offense and the defense. Ben was talking about earlier about how Luck has cut down his interceptions this year, and that's correct. His career interception percentage is 2.5% of his attempts are intercepted, and this year he's down to 1.6, which is good. But as these things tend to go, it's really going to regress. I think it's a little more luck than anything. do you guys see what I did there? Anyway, okay.
That was very punny.
I mean, and it could be maybe this is the regression from last year, because last year he was injured a little bit. I think he was up to 4.1% last year. But then beyond that, so in seven starts last year, he threw 12 interceptions. But beyond that, he threw 19 balls that could have been picked off. So he could have easily thrown seven more interceptions than he did. And those things tend to rebound a little bit. So my point is, Luck is going to put some passes up for grabs. This year, he averages, they don't have a huge running game to speak of, he averages about 39 attempts per game, which, given his career average, means he throws about one interception per game. So we can expect to see him throw one or two balls that can be picked. Now, the problem is that the Packers are having a hard time holding on to those. We saw that in the Gunter woulda, shoulda been pick six against Atlanta this past week. Again, Clinton, I talked about earlier, Clinton Dix dropped one. It seems like every week they've got their hands on a ball and they just can't quite bring it in. And that's been an issue all season. And so Luck is going to throw some, and the Packers are going to have to bring those in. But just looking at who they've played and their opponent's career interception rates, the Packers have 1.76 fewer interceptions on the season than they should have predicted based on this career rate. So again, that's problematic. Now at some point it's probably going to turn around. But with this young secondary, who knows? I mean, it's not Shields out there, who's, you know, obviously came up through college as a wide receiver. It's not Randall, who has shown to be a ball hawk. It's not Rollins. We've got Gunter, who is somewhat unknown. We got Goodson coming back from a suspension. So maybe this is really who they are, but they're going to get their hands in. So that's when they're on defense. When they're on offense, I mean, we've all kind of mentioned it. The Colts defense is really, really bad. They're giving up very, very close to 300 yards passing per game. They are allowing 1.75 touchdowns per game through the air, which is, I don't know, not great. It's not very good. And then this is the one that's very telling to me, is their opposing quarterback's quarterback rating so far this year. So far this year. And again, they played Brock Osweiler, is 103.1. So that's their average quarterback rating against them this year. And to cap this all off, man, we've seen them go ahead. Brian mentioned it with the Texans game. We've seen them be ahead and blow it in the fourth quarter. They are giving up on the year 10.6 points in the fourth quarter alone per game. That's preposterous. So just know, if the Packers find themselves down a little bit going in the fourth quarter, man, don't turn off the TV, because the Colts give up huge plays in the fourth quarter. So whether they have a running game or not, we know they dropped Nile Davis. They're going to score some points. They're going to go a little nuts. The Colts defense is bad. And if they don't do it in the first half, they're surely going to do it in the second half. So it's going to be a high scoring game. Rodgers is going to get going. Running game doesn't matter. Just start winging that ball, man. So, yeah, I mean, all the stats I'm looking at, it's pointing Packers way. So let's just cross our fingers and hope it happens. My score prediction, like, so before we started, I was actually thinking mine was going to be really, really bold. And then Ben and Brian come in and just blowing everything out of the water. So I'm going, apparently I'm the low man tonight. I'm going Packers 38-27. Weak sauce. I know, man. And that's on me. I apologize, but it's fine. If they put up 42 or whatever you predicted, I'd be happy with that as well.
Dusty, we are just we are just a flip of the numbers away here. I am going Packers 37 and Colts 28. Yes.
Ooh, did you just come up with that right now?
I actually thought about it before the Falcons game. Yes.
Okay. I thought about my score before you guys were even born.
I thought about it at the beginning of the season.
So there, I win. Yeah.
Brian's got like new hipster glasses, and it's just, he is insufferable this week.
Yeah,
just
it's been worst.
He's been insufferable since before it was cool. That's the problem.
If we're not on our A game this week, we apologize. It's because we're in a Google Hangout, and we're just seeing Brian as he talks, and the glasses are a little bit too much for us this week. But that's
real smug. He's
super smug this week. So if you feel like Brian's smug, it's because of the glasses. Anyways, we have a couple of Twitter questions this week, and we are faithful to you guys. If you submit, we answer. So Dusty, what is our first Twitter question this week?
If you submit, we must acquit. All right, so our first one.
If you ask it, they will answer.
It's from Matt. Yeah, I don't know if you actually want us to answer, but you know what? Too bad, fellas, because we're doing it. First one is from Matt. It's call me. Is it Matub or? I don't know. Matub. Call me Matub. Okay. Matub, like a bathtub, but like with a mat. It's like a mat bathtub. Matumbo.
Did Matumbo ask us a question?
Awesome. He did. It's the very same. So he actually asked us before the trade deadline. Trade deadline passed. So I'm going to reword the question a little bit to make it past tense. So we're making this a hypothetical. So on a scale of Ray Farmer to Mike Lynn, how dumb would it have been to trade for Joe Haden? So Brian, what do you think about that?
I have no idea how to answer that. I'll counter with Randy Moss.
Okay.
I mean, okay. The third rounder that the Vikings gave up to reacquire Randy Moss that 1 year, and then they cut him like 3 weeks later. I'll go with Randy Moss.
Well, they wouldn't, like, they were feeding him stuff that he wouldn't feed to his dog. That's not his problem.
No,
Brian.
That's true. Just like Latrell Sprewell just needed to feed his kids and couldn't do it on $12 million a year. Yep.
Well, the catering not. Catering wouldn't go to the yacht. That was the problem. You couldn't pay for the catering to go to the yacht anymore.
That's not enough.
Dude, that's not cool to do to an NFL player, man. That's just, I'm going to cry.
My mind stopped at Ray Farmer because I couldn't get past Ray Finkel. And like, so Laces I don't know if I heard the rest of the question, but
is Finkel Einhorn? I'm unclear
Einhorn
on a lot of things
Finkel.
Here.
Yes.
Einhorn is Finkel.
I got you.
Einhorn,
okay.
Einhorn is a man.
Yes. Okay. I got you. all right. So I'm going to go ahead and answer. And it's probably going to be the same thing. Basically Brian said, it depends on what they would have given up for him. I mean, Hayden's not the best and he takes risks or whatever, but I mean, if they would have given up like a sixth round for him, I'd give up a sixth round pick for a starting corner with the guys that we have. I mean, I'd like the guys that we have, but I mean, if they were give up like a first round pick or like an actual honest to god player that contributes, like, I'd have an issue with that. But it all comes down to what they would have given. So I mean, that's a boring answer, but that's where I come down on it.
It's okay. It's okay.
That's who I am.
Not every answer is going to be hot sauce.
No, it's not. We have one more question from our very own Josh Shack. Wonderful man. Produces the podcast. We love him. It's at Arm and Hammers. And guys, this is super hot. Just a blistering question. And John, I'm going to need you to weigh on this as well. It's going to be all three of us. We're going to put our heads together. We're going to figure this out. You guys ready?
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Question.
Oh boy.
Is chicken roasted or fried? John?
Broasted. It's broasted.
Brian?
It's broasted.
Chicken is at its absolute peak when it is fried. It's better fried than
Brian
chickens
wins.
Are alive. So
that's that's actually true. That's a scientific fact.
Yep.
So yeah,
I've done many experiments with, you know, I'm done. I can't talk about. We don't want to get
talk about those off air.
We don't want to get fined by PETA. We love animals. No animals were harmed in the making of this podcast tonight.
Yeah, fried chicken, man. Absolutely fried chicken. I grew up, that was my favorite food as a child, and I stand by it today. It's absolutely fried chicken. And it'll kill you. It'll kill you quick, fast.
What's your favorite fried chicken fast food?
Man, so we recently got a Popeyes here.
Oh.
And I forgot how much I miss
Popeyes.
Just stop there.
Yeah. They are number one.
Yeah.
They are number one.
I went
one.
To Bojangles. We got a Bojangles as well. I went to Bojangles. Someone told me it was better than Popeyes. That person was a filthy liar. Just. Bojangles was fine, but man, like, Popeyes spicy chicken, nothing comes close to that.
You sit on a throne of lies.
I told them that, and that's why I don't work in my office anymore. They just said, just work from home now. Just, it's fine.
That is a fireable excuse if you send someone to bad fried chicken. So I don't feel bad about them losing their job.
There you go. That's fair.
Brian?
Yo.
Do you have a final thought for us tonight?
I have several, but I'll try to narrow it down a little bit. All right. So none of them are football related. Well, I mean, the first one is soccer related. and you could call that football if it'll make you feel any better.
I don't. I won't.
All right. So I'm going to a footy match this weekend. Yeah.
Yeah.
How's that?
I was playing along with you, mate.
All right. So, mate, I'm at this footy match. No, I'm actually really excited. This weekend, the MLS playoffs continue, and my new hometown, Colorado Rapids, are hosting the LA Galaxy, and I'm super pumped to go. I mean, I love soccer, and I love playoff games, so I get to be at both this weekend, and it's actually quite perfect, because that game kicks off at noon, Packers kick off at 2:30, so I'll be, like, just 5.5 hours of just happiness.
Sports heaven.
Pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome.
I'm pretty pumped. My other, not football at all, I don't think you can call baseball football in any way, shape, or form. I don't really care if the Cubs win this World Series. I'm a Brewers fan, and I don't want them to, but I've also come to grips with the fact that they're going to sometime in the next few years. What I cannot come to grips with is that stupid Go Cubs Go win song that they sing.
Oh, that's bad.
It is garbage. Yeah. It is an abomination. It is an insult to music. Maybe I'd rather listen to it than Justin Bieber, but it's close. So just... it's just awful.
This is coming from guys who heard some serious G-Force action.
You
as
watch
well,
what
so
you say about Justin Bieber.
Hot.
Justin Bieber is awful. G-Force is awful. Go Cubs Go is awful. They're all awful. They should all go to music hell.
Justin Bieber is a hunk, and he sings so well.
He's not, and he doesn't. All right, anyways, please check out our website, packtothefuture.com. It's new, and it's awesome, and we work really hard to bring you really good Packers content. And make sure to listen to Pack to the Future's other podcast. It's Fred Thurston running one called The Sweep. It's good stuff. Check it out. You can also find me on Twitter at PTTF_Brian and our group at PTTF_podcast.
You can also find a gigantic picture of Brian's face when you log on to packtothefuture.com as well. So, Dusty, what are your final thoughts?
Man, so this is my new favorite thing to do. I'm really excited I decided to do this. Is every week I look at the tickets coming up just on ESPN. They have the cheapest tickets listed for each NFL game coming up, and I look at both the cheapest ones, and then I also look at the worst quarterback matchups, which are shockingly not always the same thing. So last week I actually who was it? It was Cleveland and whoever the devil it was Cleveland played, which actually turned out being a really good game, which was awesome. And the tickets for that game as of last Tuesday were like $19, which is just bonkers.
Beautiful.
Insane. So nothing that cheap this time around. There are two games you can go to that are within the $30 range that both seem halfway decent. So you can go to San Diego, Tennessee in San Diego for $36. Which sounds awesome. Phillip Rivers is great. Tennessee is not great, but they're humming along. Rushing game is pretty good. I'm a big fan of Marcus Mariota. That could be a good game. San Diego games are always going to be cheap because like no one goes to those games. For $31, cheapest game of the week, if you can get yourself out to Kansas City, you can go see Kansas City. You can see Jacksonville come into Kansas City, which means you can see Kansas City lay waste to Jacksonville for three quarters, and Blake Bortles throw like three touchdowns in the fourth quarter to make it look somewhat respectable. So for $31, you could do that. And you can go to Arrowhead, which from what I understand is a very good place to watch a game. So that's exciting. So
I thought they had like kind of awesome. One of the more like decent fan bases in Kansas City.
As Jacksonville, right? I mean, if you're reselling tickets and trying to get people to go to Jacksonville, like it's sold out, I assume, but like no one's paying top dollar for to go see Jacksonville. So I don't know. That's kind of cool. And then there is a pretty terrible looking quarterback matchup this week as well, which is awesome. That one, this is the one I'm pegging, man. This is the New York Jets. This is $96, by the way, which is bonkers. It's the New York Jets rolling into Miami. It's Fitzpatrick, which, so I just looked this up. If you go on Pro Football Reference, they have nicknames if a player has a nickname. I did not know this. Ryan Fitzpatrick's nickname, which I assume he gave himself, is the Amish Rifle, which, like, either he gave it to himself or, like, his mother gave it to him or something.
No.
So you got Ryan Fitzpatrick, who this year has thrown 7 touchdowns versus 11 interceptions,
and then had the audacity to like scream at management and say they didn't believe in me. They didn't believe in you because you're awful. Like you're awful. That's why they didn't believe in you. So you have him rolling up into Ryan Tannehill's house. Ryan Tannehill, so boring. He has no nickname. And he has 7 touchdowns and 7 interceptions on the year. If that is not a bad quarterback matchup, I'm not entirely sure what is. So if you want to go cheap, man, roll into Kansas City and watch the Jags come into town. If you want to go real, real bad, just turn on that Miami-New York game, and it's gonna be a lot of fun. I did pick the Jets last week. It was the Jets going into Cleveland is what I picked last week as well. And you know what? That was a winner. That was a good game. So so go this one as well, and you're going to see just – Ryan Tannehill throwing bullets as hard as he can that miss receivers by 15 yards. I could not be more excited about it.
And Dusty, Twitter handle, please.
I am at Dusty Evely.
Alrighty. And my final thoughts for this evening, I'm going to give a huge shout out to my Wisconsin Badgers. I know Ben and I kind of hit on it earlier, but it was awesome for the Badgers to put another top 10 notch in their belt this year. And I'm just really looking forward to some great things from this team in the future. I mean, give Hornibrook, you know, another year under the helm and, you know, get him going. This kid's going to be legit. Our defense is always legit. They're only going to get better. And there's some exciting things coming around for this Wisconsin Badgers team. So I just want to give a shout out to Bucky this week, and you know, hopefully we get a nice bowl game. Hopefully maybe we beat, you know, Ohio State or Michigan in the Big Ten championship and really stir the pot up a little bit. So huge shout out to my Wisconsin Badgers this week. And you can find me on Twitter at John Jameson. Give us a follow. And again, like Brian said, please go check out PackToTheFuture.com. Tons of articles, do a little bit of video work as well. We do it all at Pack to the Future. Go check out the Sweep, awesome podcast. And don't forget to come back to us next week. And we'll be slightly better next week, hopefully. But you guys have a great week. Go Pack, go. And we look forward to being back next week after a Packers victory. Go in peace.
Go Pack, go.
Pack, go.